talent as they had.
Smitty.
That's why I see you know, the writing on the wall with this offensive line and, you know, being actually a little scared about what they're going to look like next year.
Smitty, thank you, my friend.
Thanks.
865-200-5402. It's difficult. I know it is. And we're all frustrated. And, you know, it's a difficult thing. This is just a tough time. And tonight's game was very sobering and hard to watch. And Florida State better get beat tonight, damn it. They get on my last nerve. How much of the country do you think is cheering for Notre Dame right now, Russell?
Oh, 90%.
Bino, you think that's ever been a case where people like myself who've never cheered for Notre Dame are cheering right now?
Yeah, I think Jameis Winston has made just about everyone a Notre Dame fan.
Boy, I despise him. Attention, Class ACDL drivers, if you'd like to be home every night, well, U.S. Foods, you know, those are some great people. That is an impressive operation, U.S. Foods is, and they are seeking Class ACDL drivers as we speak for delivery positions in the Knoxville area. And U.S. Foods is a leader in the food service industry. Now, a minimum of 1 year commercial driving experience is required. 6 months food service or food and beverage delivery service is required as well. But U.S. Foods offers a competitive compensation and benefits package, including medical, dental, vision, pension, and 401k plans. Apply online at usfoods.com. U.S. Foods is an equal opportunity employer, as opposed to Tennessee's offense, which is an equal opportunity destroyer. And these finesse offenses, what Notre Dame is doing here, Russell's driving you nuts, isn't it? What is that? What was that call there?
He was going to throw.
Yeah, he was going to throw the ball downfield. And then when they blow that play up and you don't have time to cock and fire, then what? 865.
Territory, no doubt.
Yeah, it's, well.
This is the game.
865-200. What's our number here? 865-200-5402. Good. Okay, I got that. Let's go back to our phones. If you want to get in here with us tonight on your Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction, hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah, hey, who's this?
Okay. I didn't know if it was me or not. Hey, this is Sober Mike.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, buddy. Hey, I just want to call. Number one, I want these people out there to know that your sponsors, I mean, I'm not just saying that, you know, I'm just telling you, your sponsors really do get it done. And I just want everybody out there to know that. I've used your sponsors forever. I used to work out of Knoxville, even though I've been a coach up here in Jonesboro, Tri-Cities forever. But, you know, I used to travel down there and all your Lidio's, pizza and all that. Anyway, I just want you to know that all your sponsors, I have checked them out when I've been down there only because of you.
Thank you, Sober Mike. I appreciate
That's fine. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm just saying. Anyway, I've turned you on to so many people up there in East Tennessee.
Thank you. Keep doing it, Sober Mike. Keep doing it, Sober Mike.
Now, you're the one to call me Sober Mike, but anyway, I just kept going by there. All right, what I want to touch on is, all right, I have been blessed and privileged to be a high school coach, to be able to go to all these coaches' clinics. You know, I have talked to, I'm just trying to think, Jason Garrett, Peyton Manning, Nick Saban, Mark Richt, Butch Jones. I mean, I've sit down one-on-one, talked to them and their staffs, their offensive coordinators, about quarterback coaching. Who is coaching these quarterbacks there, you think? Number one, I haven't seen Justin Worthy do an up-and-out 90 all year. I haven't seen him open up a front door. I haven't seen him open up a back door. It's driving me nuts. He drops back, and then he just falls down. All he's got to do is go back into the pocket. If the pressure's from behind, then you open up the back door, which you wiggle around, push, and go back. If it's from the front, then, of course, you don't look for pressure. You feel it. And if it's closing from both sides, you step in the pocket and go out. It's called an up-and-out 90. all he has to do that, then that opens the play up, that makes the play longer, or whatever you want to, you know. And then there's people opening the other pockets after it's on the ball. He hasn't done that, and that is coaching, up and out. Now, I think Peterman threw one pass tonight. Go back and look at that. He got pressure. Hey, he went up and out. He went up and out left. He went up and out 90. He did exactly what he's supposed to do under pressure. Worley don't do that. Now, Peterman sucks. Worley sucks. But we need some coaching. Talk to me, Tony.
What do you say, Mike, to the individual who just called and says that the offensive line coach has to go and the coordinator has to go? And people like me, I look at it and go, there's just nothing there. You can't coach what you don't have. Who's right, who's wrong?
People are calling up and say people have to go, don't know nothing about the game. It's too early to say that, but I need to find out who. I mean, I'm sure, look here, I'm sure I sit there and sit across the table and eat supper with Miss Jones. I'm sure that Worley has been told you're up and out and your front doors and back doors and all that stuff. Why ain't he doing it? I mean, he just obviously can't function. He can't do it. So you got to get somewhere to do it. And no, nobody has to go yet. My Lord, it's way. I mean, look at our line. I see. You all made fun of me last week. You called me drunk, Mike. When I said that we'd probably go 7-5, you said, oh, you're crazy to go 6-6. Well, guess what? I might have been drunk. It looks like 6-6 might be the best we can do. But, no, there ain't nobody needs to go. But, hey, play calling. Hey, we need to start throwing tight end screens. We need to do screens right, left, tight end, middle. Of course, your tailback screen. Draws. We've got the slowest. I mean, people are too warm. You're going to keep coming after.
I don't like that offense. I don't like our offense. And I was telling Bina this tonight. I'm really shocked they have not put a fullback back there to help our quarterback out. I know that's not their system. But, geez Louise, you have got to deviate from that thing. Are you going to get somebody hurt?
That's killing me too, Tony. That's killing me too. It's driving me nuts. I'm like, listen, if you ain't trying to win, you ain't trying to win. Now, you got to use what you got. Forget this crap now. I know we're not actually zone reading because we're not going to kick the ball. It ain't nothing but a handoff. And my boy Jeff Clark once taught me that. He said, Mike, they're not zone reading. All they're doing is just a handoff. I'm like, yeah, you're right. So, okay, like you said, give us I guarantee you, just like you just said, Tony, you give us a big, bad AWS fullback right in front of Hurd. To start the season over with 4-2. You're exactly right. We got to do something. I mean, I'm not dogging any of these coaches. Nobody has to go anywhere. It's just they know something that we don't know.
The thing about this coaching staff that I don't understand to this point, and I'm going to be fair to them because I have no expectation numerically this year. People thought this team's winning 8 games, I mean, or 7 games or whatever it is. Right. I said coming into the year, I didn't care. In my mind, I'm resigned to the fact that there's just not much there. I wanted to beat Florida. I would have traded that for a bowl bid. But that said, we didn't get that. So now 6 is in play. Hey, it'd be wonderful to see that. I'd like to see some magic next week in Neyland Stadium. Here's the deal, though. And Mike, you coach the game. You know this as well as anybody. And Bino, we were having this conversation last night. When I saw this little kid that plays for Houston, he's about 5'8", 5'9", black quarterback, running around, playing in a second game last night against Temple on ESPNU. I texted a couple people, said, turn this thing on and watch this guy. Man, he could flat out play. I was talking to X today. X said, that guy's a 2.5-star player. He said, you could find guys like him. He said, there's going to be 50 to 75 of those guys this year in college football. I'm watching Goldston play right now from Notre Dame, who just extended a play with his feet when a play broke down, which is a capability we don't have from our quarterbacks right now. What is so difficult about going and getting a couple of those guys to run around for you and make plays till your offensive line catches up? Why can't you at least try something like that until your line catches up? Go ahead.
If you're a quarterback, I'll do these up and out 90s. Okay, that's when you kiss, you do your 3-step drop, okay? Just try to remember
yes.
what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Here comes the pressure on both outsides. Step up in the pocket. Okay, that's the up, and the out is to the right 90, to the left 90. Okay, you go out right or left, you got 10, 15 yards. Hey, run for 5 yards, T. Martin, already. Get us the first down. No, he won't do it. Now, I can't stand him standing there, especially the back door.
You're wanting him to do something he's not capable of doing, Sober Mike.
I know it. Exactly.
Well, why do you want to beat on him?
Thank you.
Why do you want to? He's not capable.
Oh my God! I love Justin Worthy to death.
He's not capable of doing that. It's like asking me to shut up and take calls.
Hey, if you're a quarterback playing D1, if you can't do an up and out or open up a back door or front door, you don't need to be there. And I'm not busting on him. That's my boy.
Well, I appreciate the call, sir. Touchdown, Notre Dame! I can't believe this.
Hey,
David Robinson, your son. Hang on 1 second. David Robinson, there's an auto penalty. You've got to be kidding me. Bino, who's this penalty on? You're ahead of me.
No, you're ahead of me, Tony.
No.
Oh.
Offensive pass interference. Only does Florida State get that call. God, I hate them. Oh, I hate them. With a passion. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry. Finish up. Yes.
No, look, listen to me. Now, I want to make one thing clear. Justin Worthy is quarterback, okay? I just wonder who's coaching him down there. Now, having said that, I love him a bit. Oh, my God. I don't want nobody. Anyway, who would I told my dad this morning, Henry, I said, you know, we're going to actually root for Notre Dame today. I said, what's the matter with us? What's going on? So, yeah, I caught you talking about that earlier, and that's what we're talking about here. We're actually rooting for Notre Dame.
We're rooting for them. Everybody in this country right now, they're America's team for one night. Mike, thank you, my friend. I love you.
Thank you, brother. And Kaylee, my girl, she won't tell me to tell you hi, so I just told you.
Tell her she's sweetie. I love her, too. Bino, in your opinion, was that a penalty that they just called on Notre Dame? Was that a good penalty or proper call?
I'd say it's a play that happens 9 times out of 10 and gets called once.
Thank you. That's exactly what that was. That was, I'm Alabama, we get that call. I'm the defending national champion with the defending Heisman Trophy who draws TV numbers, and Notre Dame just got ripped off, which is hard for me to admit. Notre Dame, who's usually the beneficiary of that through the years, they just got regaled.
What do you have for fourth and goal from your own 18-yard line?
Throw it up in the air and let your tight end make a play like they did before. Let's go back and hope for a pass interference. Yeah. You got it. P.I. Dooley. Dooley, you say P.I. Go ahead,
Tony, I don't know jack about front doors, back doors, and up 90s and all of that stuff, but I do know that for Butch Jones' offense to be effective, he's got to have a quarterback that is, at the very least, a threat to run the football, period. And in the SEC, if you don't have Cam Newton and you don't have Dak Prescott and you don't have Tim Tebow, you better have two of them. If you don't have a fullback-like quarterback, you better have two of them because they're going to carry one of them off.
He says he only needs a quarterback that can run at a short distance. It's like they pride themselves on that. I don't get it. If I were him, I would look and see what Houston had last night. This Golston kid from Notre Dame's not a big kid. Why are we fooling around with these big kids, big players? Go get a couple of those little water bugs to run around. Make some plays for you. I mean, if you're going to play that kind of offense, play it.
One guy like that works at Houston. It won't work here.
I understand that. That's why I said you go get two or three of them. That's what me and X were talking about today.
Yep.
It would be much better than what we're doing right now to get us to the next step. I'm not saying 5 years from now. I'm talking about we have to worry about how we're going to function in the real world going forward here. As I go back to our busy phones tonight here on your Smart Way, Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction, I'm Tony Basilio from the Tony Basilio Show that you hear here on this app from 11 Eastern till 1 p.m. each weekday. Russell W. Smith is across from me in the Ramirez studio tonight here in Knoxville. He, you can hear from 3 o'clock Eastern till 6 o'clock Eastern each weekday at 94.3. He's at knoxtalkradio.com online. Beano Jeff Henderson is there as well. You can hear him on Fridays with me and on select days when he's moved. Back to the phones we go. Hello and welcome. You're on the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Tony?
Hey, Robbie, good to hear from you.
Guys, my take on it, I still feel the same way I did, you know, this time last week and the week before. And, you know, I was able to completely detach myself emotionally from this year just simply because, you know, people, I respect their opinions, you know, before the season even started between, you know, Jason Swain was on with you that morning at Hardee's, and he's been to a lot of practices, and, you know, I got Jason Swain fan. You know, we're still 12 to 18 months away from having the players we need. You know, and then guys like Mike Hugenden, who is, you know, it's like he's got a crystal ball somewhere. I mean, I just, you know, I knew that we weren't going to win tonight. I mean, I was the number 3 team in the nation. I guess I'm not allowing myself this year to get really wound up. And, you know, it is what it is right now. I don't think it's, you know, I don't know. I think it's way too early to be calling for people's heads. And, you know, this is probably the worst offensive line Tennessee's ever put on the field in 100-plus years of football.
No question.
I mean, there's some, but then again, you know, there's some bright spots in the game tonight, even in, you know, what a horrible game it was. But, you know, defensively, we're much improved. And a lot of the young guys, with the exception of the offensive line, are, you know, I mean, there's an obvious difference in the kinds of kids that we're getting now, the younger guys. So I think the future looks bright. I hate the season's going the way it's going, but I don't think the sky's falling.
No, it fell. It's been falling for 7 years. The sky is now not falling. We're now in the sky.
Yeah, I know. And I know. It's just, yeah. I mean, I guess it, as bad as it got with Dooley and that, you know, it's enough for me that we are seeing improvement, even though we haven't seen a whole lot of improvement on the offensive side of the ball. But, you know, I mean, what the heck do they do?
What do they do, Dobbsy? What do you do from here?
Well, I mean, like I said earlier, you're as frustrating as this is, and I think next week is going to be more of the same. You've still got a chance to live up to your expectations, which, according to Vegas, were 5.5 wins. You can get to 6 wins. You could get to 7 wins because both Missouri and South Carolina are highly beatable. And if you win either one of those games, or you win them both, yeah, and you beat Vanderbilt and Kentucky, you have the potential to go 7-5, as ridiculous as that sounds tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yourself, I mean, you said it was probably about a year, maybe longer ago, you looked at this year's schedule. You said that it would be a miracle if we were a 500 team after his first 2 years.
I had no numerical expectations on this season. And the only thing, Robbie, about this year that gets me is losing to Florida. Why does everybody, and you can talk whatever you want to talk about, last year we threw a game away to them we should have won in Butch Jones' first year. And this year we blew a 9-0 lead, and it was totally, totally horrendous the way that game unfolded. And there's no excuse for it. And that makes me sick. And it makes me sick. Tonight's game is tonight's game. Tonight's game was going to happen. Tonight's game. Now, was the management in tonight's game great? No. There were some goofy things that happened in tonight's game. The timeout that Dubs talked about before halftime tonight. Great. You just can't have that kind of thing.
How unself-aware
you just
are
can't.
You? Who cares if you got 5 men out on the field? They're going to run out of time.
Yes, they're running out of time.
Yeah, I mean,
that's silly to call time out there.
Completely unaware.
And if you do that kind of thing consistently, when you get players here, you'll get beat. This guy has to get better managing football games.
Oh, yeah, and I guess that's what I'm getting at. I'm not going to start, you know. We fast forward a year and we're having a fifth quarter and we're talking about these kinds of things, then I'm going to be irate, I guess is where I'm at with it. So, I mean, I hate that this stuff's happening. They've got to get it corrected. You know, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I put my titanium big orange cup on back in mid-August, and I haven't even thought about taking it off, you know. And I think everybody's still hung over from the Florida game.
I am.
That was so crushing. And you guys all took your cups off. You listened to Bino, and Bino talked you into it. And you took your cup off, and Florida kicked you right in the nay-nays, Tony.
Well, so, next year's schedule in 2015, when that schedule came out, I put two losses down. Alabama there and Florida there. And until Tennessee proves to me they can beat Florida, that game goes in my loss column before each season. Sorry. That ain't full of me anymore.
Hey, to end on a good note, what a game Todd Kelly had tonight.
He's a nice player.
Did you see the tackle he made where he basically with one hand just yanked that kid down?
He's a nice play. Yes, and he was being held. He was being tackled on the play. And that big lineman was laying right on top of him, and he still made the play.
Well, how about McNeil, too? I mean,
wow, he's a nice player.
A lot of people kind of gave up on him, and, boy, he laid the lumber to that one dude in the first half.
You know what? Even with the Mosley kid that gave up the touchdown, I can even see that. You know, that's another one of those young guys.
Yep.
That, you know, he's not making that mistake in the next couple of years. It's the learning, you know, those guys seem, you know, as long as they continue to learn from their mistakes and get better, I'm fine with it. But.
Thank you, Robbie. I'm not sure if he made a mistake on that play, because if you go back and look at that, in fact, both those passes were well thrown. They were good routes. And you get beat. You know, guys at the NFL level each week get beat. The best corners in the world get thrown on and get beat. In fact, they just showed that play on ABC a second ago, and he had pretty good coverage, so it didn't like he was thoroughly beaten. Bino, do you want to respond to anything that was said there as we hit the midnight hour?
Tony, I guess when I look at this season, I'm going to judge this season solely, pretty much solely, on what occurs in November. I think we've got 4 winnable football games in November. I don't believe tonight was winnable. I don't believe next week's winnable. I believe we've got 4 winnable football games, and they're remaining in November. And I'm going to draw a lot of my conclusions on what type of job our staff has done this season based on that month.
Back to the phones we go.
You know, it's going to be interesting if Worley is hurt. And, you know, Butch, before this season's, talked about last season's quarterback injury problems, said he'd never been through anything like that before, as if it were some sort of fluke. If it happens again this year, does he say to himself, well, this is the SEC, and I've got to be prepared for, you know, my quarterbacks getting hurt and change up the way he recruits or the way his system is as far as, you know, protecting his quarterbacks?
Cincinnati, when Brian Kelly was there and Butch Jones, they played several quarterbacks because their guys were always getting hurt. I don't know what he's talking about when he says that. That's not reality. One year, Brian Kelly, I know, I used to go to games there. Brian Kelly played 4 or 5 quarterbacks one year. Bino, remember we used to comment on how Brian Kelly could, and those guys, and even when Jones was there, they could always get guys ready to play. They always had guys getting hurt there. And that was at that level. Hey, this Justin Worley guy, he's not very good. He's not. He is one tough.
The fact that he's made it this far.
He is one tough hombre. That's what he is.
I have a great deal of respect for his toughness, Tony. And anyone that hangs around a program that's been as unstable as this one, he and AJ Johnson, and I've got nothing but respect for them. But it doesn't change the fact that he's a below-average SEC quarterback who, against Florida and tonight, had opportunities to put us in the game and failed to do it.
That's right. And early in the game when it's 3-0, or early in the game when it's a 7-3 game, you just can't throw that ball there. You know, it's one thing to turn the ball over when it's 0-0. Tennessee at one point holds them 1 of 9 on third downs when it's still a contest. And in most games in that situation, you're in the game there. You're in the game. This is all a process for everybody. Let's go back to the phones. Nobody's jumping off bridges tonight. It is your Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome. Who's this?
It's a Stu Manitarian.
Hey, Stu Manitarian, go right ahead.
Hey, would your boys over at the U.S. Food, do you think they'd hire Justin Worley to drive one of their trucks?
Why wouldn't they?
Why wouldn't they?
Well, they're going to need to, because after tonight, that guy, he proved tonight that when he got out of the pocket, and I'll give our offensive line some credit. Early in the game, as much as we didn't give them any chance, I felt like the offensive line held their own. And a couple times, Worley got out of the pocket, had time to think about it, and made some terrible decisions. Terrible decisions. Threw three picks in the first half. And I don't care who you put out there on the field, who's coaching them. If you've got a quarterback that's doing that, throws three picks in the first half, you're not going to have a chance.
Stewie threw two in the first half and one early in the third, correct?
Okay, Bino, you're right. I'm sorry. But either way...
Your point's well taken. Your point's well taken.
But I feel like in today's college game, the quarterback is such a crucial position. And I don't know what it is, and maybe this Juwan Jennings guy coming in next year, or maybe Dormandy or whatever his name is out of Texas, maybe one of those guys is going to come in and make the difference. But you just can't win at this level if you don't have a quarterback that can play. And, as good as Butch Jones and his staff has been recruiting, they have been unable to get a quarterback in here that can fit their system and that can come in and can be somebody that they can plug in and be competitive. And it's just frustrating when you see a defense out there that plays their hearts out and did everything. This is the third game, Georgia, Florida, and now this game, where they have done everything that they have needed to do to win, and you come out a loser. And as a Vol fan, it's just terribly, terribly frustrating to see that. And, AJ Johnson, you talk about a guy. That guy is—he's one of the best defensive players we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just seeing loss after loss after loss. And I know it's not an easy fix, but why can we not bring a quarterback in here that can play?
That can run around and make plays anyway. See, that's the thing. The thing these guys are going to have to do is they're going to have to be honest. This Jennings guy. Some people tell me that internally within that program, it might be lip service that they're going to play him at quarterback, or if they're going to play him at quarterback. If they don't give that kid a shot, a real honest shot, they're nuts. They're nuts. It's their only hope with that offensive line. Throw a playmaker back there, like Bino said, and then go recruit a couple more guys that are 5'10", like X was telling me about today, like that kid at Houston that can run around and make plays. It's the only hope we have. You know what's a shame? it's a shame to have that tremendous array of wide receivers we have. This Wolf kid at tight end who's a really nice player, I guarantee you, he's at Alabama. I mean, there's no telling what kind of numbers he would put up. In our offense, I mean, you know, poor Worley, he just can't breathe. And he's not very good to begin with, okay? Worley would struggle on the 90s Tennessee teams where you had the Cozy Colemans and the Chad Cliftons of the world blocking for you. And before that, the Bubba Millers and the Kevin Mazes of the world and those people and the Jeff Smiths. I mean, he would struggle on those teams. A guy on this team behind that offensive line, he got no chance. He got no chance.
Tony, let me ask you. So you got Drew Richmond, who's the number one recruit in the state of Tennessee for 2016 from NUS in Memphis. He was at the game tonight. What do you think is going through his mind? Do you think he watches this game and he sees how bad our offensive line is and he thinks he can come in and help out right away? Or do you think he watches that game? Because right now I think Ole Miss is the leader. I think he's even committed to Ole Miss, but I think it's a soft commitment. Do you think that a game like tonight helps or hurts Tennessee?
If it doesn't help you, what are we doing? It's a help wanted ad, isn't it?
How do you not get that kid?
Bino, is that a help wanted ad?
It certainly is, Tony, and I just don't know what runs through a young man's mind. You know, obviously, if you think that you can play immediately on either team, you go to the team that you think is better right now. If you think there's one place you can play immediately and the other can't, and that's what's high on your list, then you go to the team that needs you immediately. But, you know, who knows?
Bino, I agree with you 100%, but I'll say this. I think recruiting comes down to the position coach. And I think when you look at how good our recruiting has been, the one area that we have not been able to recruit in is offensive line. And I just can't help but point at Mahoney to say that guy's just not getting it done. I mean, these other position coaches are out there. They're bringing these guys in. And the one position that we need at the worst, we continue to miss on these even these in-state recruits that could come in and make a difference right away. And, you know, I hate to call for somebody's head this early, but I think Bajakian, I think he's done an okay job with what he has, but from a recruiting standpoint, I feel like Mahoney is just, he's not at the same level as some of these other guys, and I don't think he's SEC level, and I think Butch needs to take a long, hard look at that after this season. And hopefully his loyalty won't get in the way of making the decision that needs to be made. And maybe he can bring in somebody that can bring in some of these in-state first-class recruits.
But how do you know? But here's the thing about Mahoney. How do you know when you're trying to get – you got one guy out there tonight. God bless Gillum. God bless that kid. He loves it here so much. He's playing on one knee at the end of that game. How do you judge a guy when you're coaching that?
What Butch Jones said before this season started taking a turn south, he said an offensive line is built over several years in the weight room. You show me any team in the country with multiple freshmen on the offensive lineman, I'll show you a lousy offense. That's
mm-hmm.
just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, of course they've got to go out and recruit better players, but there's no quick fixes for an offensive line. If you think, even if they get Drew Richmond, if Tennessee's starting a true freshman at left tackle next year, they're going to be the more imperative thing to me is to develop these guys that they've got now and hope that they can get better. They're probably not going to be a dominant offensive line next year with the same guys, but if you can get them to where they're just competent, where they're not getting their quarterback killed, I think you'll have a chance to win some games.
Stu Mkhitaryan.
You got to start somewhere, Dusty. I mean, we got nothing coming
well,
in.
This is where they're starting. We're
just going to fire the offensive line coach.
I'm not saying you got to fire him, but I'm saying you got to start somewhere and bring people in. I mean, last year we had probably the most talented offensive line in the country, and he managed. I know they did a good job in pass protection, but he managed to make them look average.
2 minutes, Harry, and I want to read a text to you from another member of our radio family this evening. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This is from Tac Air Spike, who I know is a friend of yours.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can help him with this. I don't know what's worse, Stumanitarian's call tonight or Coach Jake's play calls. Do you have a thought on that, Stumanitarian?
I would say my call by far.
Love you, Stumanitarian. You're my man. Keep on smiling, brother. Yes, Bino.
Here's my question, guys, and I'm admittedly, I don't follow recruiting the way that you should if you're going to do what we do.
Right.
They have commitments from four offensive linemen that are highly thought of, two of which are in-state guys. Now, I know Richmond's the best of the bunch, so can you say that the recruiting is a failure because you missed the one and get the four?
No.
I don't know. You know, I know that they're attempting to, and all these guys are listed as tackles that they have committed. I don't know if any of them project to be a tackle in the SEC or not, but I do know if this line's going to be any good, two tackles better appear out of thin air.
Out of thin air. Well, that's a great point.
And for those of you who are pinning all your hopes on signing, you know, some magical left tackle to come in next year, mm-hmm. this time last year, we were all convinced that the Blair kid was going to be the answer to all their problems.
And I talked to the other day a gentleman out of New Orleans by the name of Mike Dutillier, who's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike is a expert when it comes to positions and projecting. And he said he did some math. He said that offensive linemen out of the junior college ranks are a consistent fail when it comes to converting them to this level. He said that is a consistent failure in terms of the number of guys you sign and guys who hit. Jason Swain, last year on his website, did some research. I don't have it in front of me. But the percentage of guys that were signed out of last year's class as tackles who are currently playing, it's something like 3 out of 15 guys right now in Division I football. The top 15 tackles out of junior college ranks last year, and Blair's one of those. They can try to sell me how close this Blair guy is to playing. He's not.
Ideally,
it's not going to come from him. Okay, I mean, I hate to write him off, so let's be honest about it here. And a couple of those kids, as Bino said, better materialize somebody that's on that campus that we don't know about right now, better materialize. Or the other option, this is my option, is get a quarterback that can run around and run for your life.
I think you got to do that, but you got to develop the guys you have. You got to recruit, redshirt those guys, let them spend 2 or 3 years in the weight room, and then you've got them as, juniors, fifth-year seniors.
When are you going to do that? When are you going to redshirt them? See, that's a problem. That's a problem.
Well, yeah, exactly. Coleman Thomas, Jayshon Robertson
have no business playing. Right now. That's exactly right.
But, I mean, that's not Butch's fault.
No.
That's not Majakian or Ronnie's fault.
No, it's that idiot, derelict moron. Absolute needs a punch in his face tomorrow from the Giants.
Well, you remember
on the Giants' way to a 3-touchdown victory against those idiots.
In 2009, the Kiffin year, they had the Sullins twins starting on the offensive line, and then the next year, Dooley's first year, Jawan James was starting as a redshirt as a true freshman,
mm-hmm.
and they were taking their lumps. And it was just wait till these guys are juniors and seniors. And when they got to be juniors and seniors, they were a pretty good offensive line. But Dooley forgot about that first year and didn't follow up his recruiting to the point where he would be able to replace those guys
mm-hmm.
with juniors and seniors. And so you're back where you were 5 years ago.
865-200-5402. If you'd like to get in with us, 865-200-5402. And we've got a couple games left that are still in action. Arizona State's rolling Stanford right now, 14-0. We'll keep you in track of that one. I want to remind you that portions of our program are presented by Smartway, your everything for home, pay your way store. Go smartway.net online. Smartway is your everything for home store where you're going to pay your way, located at 8416 Kingston Pike. You're going to be smart. You're going to buy smart. Go the smart way. When I say everything for your home, I mean you walk in there, you see the furniture and the appliances and the TVs and the electronics and the cell phones and the tires. They've got it all there at Smart Way. And Smart Way, the way it works is 120 days, same as cash. And on the way out the door, you buy it in the first 120 days, and away you go. And if you do that, any on-time lease payment earns 2% in-store cash credit. So they'll do 120 days, same as cash with you. They also do lease, purchase, rent-to-own agreements. And you can change the agreement, the amount you want to pay, when you want to pay, the frequency of your payment. That's all up to you. And you can change it as you go. You can absolutely change it as you go, change on the fly. It's why we say go the smart way. Online, gosmartway.net. Back to our phones we go. 865-200-5402. Tony Basilio, Russell Smith, and Bino with you on the heels of Tennessee's effort tonight where they came up short on the road at Ole Miss in a game that had a very promising first quarter, an extremely promising start for the Vols. The air came out of the balloon before halftime and never really got back in as we go back to our phones. And who's next with us? Hello.
Hey, this is Don.
Hey, Don, welcome.
Hey, guys. I tell you, you got to love fans. Last week, when Missouri got murdered and shut out, they were going to chalk one up for a win against us, for a win against them. And now they're looking at that Florida score, not knowing how it actually happened, and we have no chance. They had, not only they have only 100 yards of offense against Florida, Matty Malk followed up his four interception game by throwing for 20 yards tonight. 20 yards.
You know what, Don? Here's the reality about Florida. It doesn't matter who the coach is here.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody beats them but us.
I know.
This guy they have coaching, Don, them, is a dumpster fire.
His press conference a while ago.
This guy makes, pretty good, he makes Dooley look good. What are you saying in his press conference, Don?
Oh, I just, you know, what you always hear. You know, this is unacceptable and, you know, this is on us and da da da.
Did he get mad? Was he mad?
No. He looked like a puppy. But you was talking about the Florida game and us and, yeah, that's still hanging over us. They wanted to lay down and quit on him so bad. The only way they, you know, didn't is because we handed it to them on that sack fumble, short field touchdown, backup quarterback, the whole nine, you know, everything that happens when it's us. But did you ever think you'd actually see the night when the powers that be would arrange for Notre Dame to lose a game?
Unbelievable. I tweeted out tonight, and I mean this. Don, unbelievable.
I have seen flagrant stuff, game after game, never called. That mm-hmm. was just, but that's keeping, look here, Todd Gurley hasn't done nearly as much as Jameis Winston.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Rick Stetson, of course, Chubb had 607 yards rushing today. If anything, it's probably helped Georgia, weird as that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
You may have had maybe some jealousy or something. Now they're happy. I think the part of players, I was watching those highlights on the kick return, the punt return, and all that. I didn't see a lot of effort. I like they want him out of there.
There's no doubt, Don. Those kids, that's the other thing that pisses me off about that game. The one game all year that they really wanted to play for some reason was this one. They're not giving a good effort against anybody else but us. Why? Why? Why couldn't they lay down in this game? Just one time.
Well, they tried. We wouldn't let them.
One time. And by the way, when we start looking, Don, at what the NCAA did today, here's my conspiracy theory, Bino. Try this on for size. The NCAA knows that tonight's game, that Notre Dame-Florida State game, moved the dial for them, TV-wise. They've got a villain now. If they can keep him in that national championship race to the playoffs, they will do unbelievable numbers with him in that playoff race, even bigger than Notre Dame. Bino, am I wrong about that?
No, he's the gorgeous George Cassius Clay, the king, you know.
That's exactly what he is.
That's what that's all about. Well, getting to our deal, let's just talk about some positives.
Bino got shoved out, yeah.
A.J. Johnson tonight was so much a man. I mean, he just obliterated them. And Derek Barnett is what Derek Barnett is. He's a freak. And he's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? 19 straight starts for number 23. And once again, he goes up against a big-time receiver and shuts him down. The only time he finally caught anything was when they started moving him around. He was getting on Coleman and Mosley and stuff. I know the kid from Ole Miss had a couple picks tonight, and he's a great little player, and I know the Hargraves kid gets all the pub down there. I still think Sutton's the best shutdown corner in the SEC. Am I crazy?
No. Don, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you. I would take him in a heartbeat. I love him. As an Eagles fan, I hope he's on the board when the Eagles draft. I absolutely love Cam Sutton. I think he's a star. I love, love, love him. What a great football player. And he tackles in the open field, too, my friends.
I agree. He's a great corner, probably maybe the best corner Tennessee's had. And
it's been a long time.
Yeah, a long time. The one criticism I will levy, I'd like to, they've got to get their return game figured
now
out.
Now, he is a nightmare in the return game.
He had that one in the first half, that line drive.
Get away from the ball.
Well, that
and then he had a line drive where he tiptoed.
I mean, that should have been about a 15, and he's just dancing.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, dude. You're never going to get a better one to return than that.
You know what kick returning is, and I'm convinced of this after talking to coaches and people involved. It's all instinct.
Yeah.
And you can either do that or you can't. And I don't know what you do, Bino, with Barry tonight, who has had trouble with drops and fumbles in practice. Do you keep putting him out there, Bino, after he put that ball down tonight?
Well, apparently they don't have a whole lot of other options, Tony. Once they were sticking with Devin Young, obviously, because he does not fumble. Apparently most everyone else they have does, and Evan's the most dynamic of those.
865-200-5402. Sean Sinclair checking in. Alex Givens from Nashville also going to Ole Miss. Really, really nice prospect at offensive tackle. Bama today started two true freshmen, Dubsy, on their offensive line today. But see, at Alabama, you can get away with that because the other three are great players.
And whereas Coleman Thomas, and I know he had Florida State offers and all that, but he's your three-star guy. I'm guessing these Bama freshmen are future first-round draft picks.
Well, and Coleman Thomas is an interior lineman, too. It's not fair to him. That's just, that whole thing is not fair to a lot of people. But it's not fair to him. Bino, I'm going to bid you adieu here in a little bit. I love you, man. I really appreciate you. You've been with me for 2 hours. How are you doing this, Bino?
Tony, it's actually therapeutic for me.
Is it?
Yeah.
You want to make the drive over here and do the third for me?
It's not that therapeutic.
Dubsy's looking good tonight, man. Dubsy's styling and profiling, I'll have you know. As we go back to our phones, let's grab our next caller tonight. You're on the Smart Way, Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction. Good morning. Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, who's this?
It's Pro.
Hey, man. Good talk to you, buddy.
Hey, I lost lots of arguments tonight. I do say that when I was watching the game, the one thing that popped in my head was it kind of feels like it's a bizarro 2012 where now watching the defense is kind of like the enjoyable part of the game, and just watching the offense just feels like a chore.
It's very well put. When you watch the offense, you know, it used to be – You know, if you're a baseball fan, you'll go get something to eat or go to the restroom when your team's on defense, unless you have a really great pitcher going, and then you want to watch that guy go, and maybe you'll step out when you're on offense. That's how our defense is now. Our defense is so fun to watch. And they got worn down tonight, but they still didn't quit in that game. They were still out there hitting. Now, we'll hit you now. Our defense will absolutely hit you.
The one thing I will say, it did seem like at the beginning of the game that the Bajakian was trying to roll Worley out a little bit more just to try to get him away from the pocket. But even then, though, I mean, his first interception was him rolling out, and he threw that dart to the Ole Miss defensive back when he could have, if he just put a little air under it, he'd have a wide receiver wide open on down the sideline. So, I mean, you know, you could see they're trying to do a few things differently, but, you know, it's still not, like you all say, you know, our old line is just bad. And like I said, I mean, maybe a fullback would help some. I don't know if it'd help enough, though. I mean, do you really think putting a fullback back there would make a difference in any of these games going forward?
Well, the question is, here's the question I would have for you. Would it hurt?
Well, who do we have used as a fullback? Because they're not practicing anymore, have they?
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, stick somebody back there. You had an off week. My point is, you had an off week. You could have tried something. This is not rocket surgery. You know, at some point, try something.
Well, now, something else I was wondering, you know, if Worley might be out for a couple of weeks or not, and, you know, Tony, you've talked about that they're really one of the red shirt dogs. Is he progressing so well this off season with, I guess, watching tape and working out, that they really think that he's going to be the difference maker for next year? Or is, I mean, I don't get that. Like, unless they really project him to be a world beater next year, I don't see what the reason is for redshirting him.
I 5,000% agree with you. I don't get it either. I don't even pretend to understand that. It was, let me tell you this. This is what I know about that situation. I feel comfortable telling you this. It was his idea to redshirt this year after the summer struggles. They told him, we'll accommodate you. That's what you want to do, we'll accommodate you. Now, my take on it is, if Worley, God forbid, this is an injury, he's down for 3 or 4 weeks, and they're going to find out tomorrow, Butch Jones said, exactly what's going on with Worley's shoulder. Now, Worley's telling people he's going to be fine, but we've had other guys this year tell people they're fine after games and miss action. So it doesn't necessarily mean anything when a player says
Worley's tough as nails.
And he's tough, and he doesn't want to give that job up because he's a senior, and this is his last go-around, and these games are finite, and all that stuff. Are you going to put your chances of getting to a bowl game in year two in the hands of, with a straight face, in the hands of Peterman?
No.
And I don't understand about Dobbs, as you say. Now, Vol Colonel's trying to sell me that Dobbs behind the scenes is this and he's that and he's this and he's that. You know, I'm counting on having a really seriously athletic quarterback in the future here. And he's okay, but he's not seriously athletic.
Well, is Bo Wallace?
He's more athletic than Dobbs, I think, yeah.
I think they're comparable.
I think he's thicker, though, isn't he?
He's thicker. He's a better athlete overall, I think.
Bo Wallace is?
Yes. I believe that.
Now, if he requests the red shirt, was Ferguson still here at that time? Was that?
No, this is in the summer. This is the summertime.
That makes no sense.
Because
Dobbs coming out of the, because when he came out of the orange and white game, I mean,
No. This was in the summer where he couldn't get out of his own way. We're back in summer practice now. He's a distant third on that depth chart.
Well, still, he's still got to know that Peterman, you know, from the Florida game last year.
No, he didn't know that because Peterman had a great summer.
I don't. I wouldn't pretend to know. The only thing I can think of is the best way you can get better is if you get out there. And I know coming out behind this line, he'll be running for his life. But just to get out there and get some game experience, and at least, you know, maybe at some point the game will start getting slower for you, and then you can build off of that. I mean, he's, like you say, I mean, he's, if he's not good enough to beat Worley, and if Butch can get a quarterback who really does fit his system, he'll never see any playing time at all.
Thank you. It's an interesting phone call, because that's a moving part behind the scenes. Beano, listen to this. So tonight after the game, you had the head coach of Ole Miss apologize to our head coach for scoring a late touchdown. That is just bizarre. You had a drunk Ole Miss fan get into Tennessee's locker room and ask a question of our quarterback. Apparently the Secret Service is now handling the locker rooms Oxford. Here it is.
Somebody in Andrew Gribble, who used to write for the Sentinel, mm-hmm. said after the Alabama game the same guy was down there and got a couple of questions in with Saban.
Oh, that's great.
So apparently they'll give anybody credentials down there.
Let's hear it.
Tony, it's my understanding that we had our offensive lineman guarding the locker room door.
let's hear.
Sorry, listen, I try my very best not to be jaded.
Yeah.
But this is what I have trouble believing. So Joshua Dobbs is progressive. And Dontavius Blair, that's his name, correct?
Yes.
Is progressing.
Yeah, that's VolQuest now. That's what.
Then we're apparently redshirting the only two guys in the program that are progressing at those positions.
That's so classic.
Got to build.
And people are lapping it up, man. People are lapping because you got to have hope.
It's a marathon, Beano, not a sprint.
You got to have hope. You got to have hope. You got to sell the future, man. You got to have hope.
You've got to laugh a little bit, too. And I was thinking during one of those conversations that I've got the perfect job now for Derek Dooley, too. Recruiting coordinator for a 7-on-7 team.
No question. Derek Dooley, I would like to retroactively put him back in that stupid jersey that he used to wear and that stupid hat and take that orange dog and smash him right over the head with it. That pewter, whatever that dog that weighed like 90 pounds that some imbecile was out there carting around. Good night. I'd like to take Derek Dooley and just smash that dog right over his head. Let's listen to this drunk fan. Here's a drunk fan interrupting Justin Worley tonight, as if Worley didn't have a long enough night.
They do a good job coming in.
Yeah, Ole Miss overall. You knew Ole Miss's defense was going to be good. Anything that particularly surprised you?
What's that?
Let's listen again. Here we go.
I think for the most part, they do a good job coming in.
Yeah, Ole Miss overall. You knew Ole Miss's defense was going to be good. Anything that particularly surprised you?
What's that?
That guy did everything but burp on him. What in the world is going on? What in the world is... And you have to laugh about this stuff. You have to laugh about it to keep from crying. You must laugh. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Beano, I've got one more. You've got one more call in you, brother. Let's go back to our phones. Who's next with us? Hello.
Tack Air Spike, Tone.
Hey, Tack Air Spike. You're on the Smart Way, Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello, sir.
I'm going to try to put us out in style on like Stu Manitarian.
Stu Manitarian's call was an absolute, if you can say so myself, a snoozer. Continue.
It was. It was an abomination. Never heard anything quite like it.
I'm still not sure what he was trying to do. And tell fake Dane Bradshaw no comments from the peanut gallery back there.
There's None at all. That U.S. Foods thing had me tickled. I don't know what the hell was going on.
What did he said Worley was going to be one of U.S. Foods' new drivers. What is that supposed to mean? Was that a joke? What was that?
I don't know. I mean, the guy clearly couldn't drive to save his life today.
Bino, stop him, Bino.
Bino.